But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app. What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending is a story we were just discussing during the Chiefs Run half hour. That's the report from Tom Pelissero that Bill Belichick has been receiving multiple phone calls from teams, including the Raiders, that are gauging whether or not he would be interested in leaving North Carolina after not even coaching a game there. Tom Brady, reportedly, who's, remember, a minority owner, has already spoken to his former coach. It's not saying that he's leaving, but teams are making sure he really wants to stay in Chapel Hill. Remember, the buyout language was interesting at the very beginning of the hiring anyway, a couple weeks ago. $10 million buyout right now. After June 1st, it goes down to $1 million.
Would you wait till June if you were going to hire him? Just pay the $9 million.
You can't wait that long.
If he's your coach,
you can't wait that long. Yeah.
He's your coach.
Yeah, you cannot wait that long to make your head coach hire, even if you already know you're going to hire him. Also, the Cowboys denied the Chicago Bears opportunity for now to interview Mike McCarthy. That's because Dallas has an exclusive negotiating window for another week or so, I believe. They're kind of holding each other hostage right now. Like, you haven't given me, if you're McCarthy, he's like, you won't let me talk to anybody, but you haven't given me a new deal yet. Dallas is like, well, we don't want to lose you yet. We want to see if we can get somebody else, maybe.
We're not sure. I want to go to the bars for a couple of times and see who's there. And then I'm serious. Let's commit. Uh-huh. Next up on What's Trending, the Missouri Tigers got their first SEC conference win, and I am not kidding. Since 2023, it had been almost 700 days since the last time Missouri had won a game in the SEC. They won one last night. They had a 21 straight loss streak over there, 83-67 over LSU. K-State lost last night, 79-66 to Oklahoma State. KU actually plays tonight against Arizona State. So do the Roos. They take on Omaha, remember? Up there, Omaha, for a battle of 2-0 teams in the Summit.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Dude, good for Missouri. They're definitely going to be a tournament team this year. But the idea that they went like 650, 700 days without winning an SEC, it's college basketball.
Crazy.
This isn't football. College basketball, you get like 15 tries a year. Like, what?
The SEC is also just wild so far to begin with. Tennessee, number one team, lost by like 30 last night to Florida.
Yep. Who are ranked top five as well, or top six.
Yeah, there are a lot of really good
SEC
teams.
Really good.
It's loaded. Next on What's Trending, some baseball news. Justin Verlander agreeing to a one-year deal with the San Francisco Giants.
We're in the current phase of the MLB offseason where teams are settling for the, okay, your number you're asking for is way too high. Time to go to the bargain bin for a minute while these other guys like Santander and some others sit out in the market. I think their prices might still come down a little bit based on the way the market has been moving. Next up on What's Trending, another interview request for Mike Borgonzi, according to Diana Rossini. She says the Titans have also requested an interview with the Chiefs assistant general manager. They got several guys on their list, but that's now two places at least Mike Borgonzi is going to get an interview to be a general manager at. The more teams he interviews with, the more likely he is to leave.
Sure.
I thought him and Brant Tillis were going to leave so long ago. I was stunned that either of them lasted as long as they did. I wouldn't be surprised to see if Borgonzi finally got plucked.
He'd be the last one of the group, right?
Yeah,
because
Poles
is in Chicago. Yeah. Obviously, you mentioned Brant Tillis. He's in Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. So, it'd be kind of time, if you will. It's hard to retain, smart people that are next to a general manager that has won multiple rings and put together a dynasty from a roster standpoint. Lastly, real quick on what's trending, Travis Kelce won the Walter Payton Man of the Year fan vote portion.
Important to note.
Right? That's just the fan. He's not the Walter Payton Man of the Year. We won't know that until the NFL honors Super Bowl week in New Orleans, but he won the fan vote portion. He gets $35,000 for his charity, which is obviously great. Look, the Swifties, Chiefs fans, there was no way Travis Kelce was not winning that. There's no chance. That is what's trending, by the way. We're also in our Jefferson's Lunch Hour. Jefferson's, the official lunch partner of 96.5 The Fan. You can catch every game at Jefferson's. Witness every moment throughout the playoffs as well. A restaurant that's proudly local. Visit Jefferson's in Lenexa or North Kansas City. Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters. And be sure to go to our Instagram page right now. Get a chance to win a $250 gift card. It's pretty simple.
Can I win?
Straightforward stuff. You cannot win, unfortunately. I cannot either.
Win just like everyone else. You already won some Jefferson's.
Well, I was a Cody and Gold Guillotine League.
Yeah.
Thanks to our listeners that were part of that, I did end up winning that. So, yeah, I think I get something from that. But that's a whole separate conversation. As far as this goes, $250 gift card. Go to our Instagram page. It's pretty straightforward, right? It's going to ask you to like and the standard stuff. Okay. Full details up on the Instagram page.
It's worth it. Go follow us over on Instagram or YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We live stream the show. You ever want to check us out eating some wings? We do that on occasion during the Wednesday as well. Thanks to Jefferson's. You can check that out over there as well. But yeah, go give yourself a chance to win $250.
Yeah, definitely.
Get the mango habanero. I'm a big fan.
That's a good flavor.
I did the honey sriracha the last time. It didn't disappoint.
Get yourself some corn nuggets too while you're at it. You know?
You're a big corn nuggets guy.
Get yourself some corn nuggets. I also will say, I saw this post yesterday, and I think it's important. I mentioned Jefferson's is proudly local as well. Given the fact that so many businesses had to close down for a day or two due to the awful road conditions and everything, I think it is very important this week in particular. It should always be important, right? But this week in particular, so many of those businesses had to close down, and so how do they make that up? So if you can, if you're already thinking about going out to dinner or something anyway this week, try to go out local. Bring in some food locally, carry out, whatever it may be, as obviously they missed out on multiple days of a business. So
yeah, and for a small business, that can make a big difference. So yes, please go out and eat local, and that includes, as you mentioned, Jefferson's. The head coaching cycle continues to be interesting. We just mentioned Bill Belichick as a possibility. Look, for a second, I didn't even think the Raiders were going to fire Antonio Pierce, admittedly, because I was like, guys, you know what we know, right? But there's always this looming thing with the Raiders, which is, can they afford to fire him? They've been paying multiple head coaches for years. They reportedly didn't want to let go of John Gruden at the time, but the emails came out publicly, and they had no choice but to do it. I'm still pretty convinced that that was leaked by Snyder, but look, he said those things.
He's still in the league for a reason.
I don't feel bad for Gruden as a result of that. But when you look through this thing, do the Raiders have any chance of being even mildly competitive for the next decade? Absent just getting lucky and taking the right quarterback at 6, I guess.
They do, yeah.
Or 10, because they are one of the few teams, I would say, who currently has no prospects of hope. They have two good players, Brock Bowers and Max Crosby. They have no coach, no good GM, bad ownership, poor ownership, right, across the board. They play in a fan base with no fan base. What is their out? What is the Raiders out to be competitive in the AFC West?
It's a long road, though, because in this division, you just mentioned it. I mean, you have the Chiefs, who are the best franchise in all sports right now. You have a Chargers team that's headed in the right direction and a Broncos team headed in the right direction. Yeah. They both have their quarterbacks.
They've stabilized.
They both have their head coaches, so they're going to be competitive. They're both playoff teams, for crying out loud. All three of them are playoff teams that I mentioned. So it's a long road. I think in the NFL, we've seen, though, depending on your belief in ownership, that you can turn around franchises. Now, there are certain franchises, Chicago right now, where that ownership is so bad. I don't know. Jets, Woody Johnson. I don't know. New York Giants. I don't know. Those are ownership groups, and I understand they've won a ring with current Giants ownership in the last 15, 20 years, or whatever it's been at this point in time.
Whenever Eli won.
Yeah, right? Or twice, too. Hall of Fame case for him. But the point is, sometimes you can't overcome bad ownership, but there's other organizations that have shown that if you get, it sounds so simple. You get the quarterback, man, you get the quarterback and the coach. But more importantly, I would almost argue in some ways, the quarterback. Look at Cincinnati. I don't think Zach Taylor's a great head coach. They got the quarterback. They have a bad owner, I still believe, but the quarterback.
I don't even think Drew would argue that. Right?
But they have the QB.
Well, in the Bills.
And their coach isn't the worst, but they have one. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, I don't think their ownership is terrible, by the way, though. I don't think
head
that's fair.
Head coach in question.
Head coach, yeah, but Sean McDermott in question, when we grade him up against the top five guys, no, he's not that.
But he's better than Zach Taylor.
But they have Josh Allen, right? Most importantly, they have Josh Allen. So when you ask about the Raiders, if let's say, I don't care if it's Cam Ward, Shadur Sanders, let's say either one they draft, and that's a big if too.
One of them
are what Jaden Daniels is looking like he's going to be, or something like Drake May. Well, then, yeah, of course they can figure it out, because ultimately the quarterback changes your entire franchise.
Maybe this is a good year for the Chiefs to have the one seed, because we didn't think the one seed was going to be hard this year. We thought the division was going to be tougher, and it was. Didn't stop them from getting the one seed, of course, even though the division was tough. Part of this that's trouble for the Raiders is they might have to reset two more times at quarterback before any of these teams have to. In the next 10 years, the Chiefs will have to reset at quarterback zero times. In the next 10 years, the Chargers will not reset a quarterback. Let me be clear, and I don't know exactly how his career will end if it's just Philip Rivers and he just puts up a whole bunch of counting stats and never actually wins anything of value to go with it. Although Philip Rivers did win divisions during his run. Herbert hasn't even done that. I would guess over the next 10 years, Justin Herbert is their starter. Nick's less of a question.
I'd be very surprised.
Nick's is less of a question. It's 1 year. Let's not like count the, you know, before they come to roost, whatever, right? But it's like they, at least for the next 4 years, probably know who their starting quarterback's going to be. Probably 8 years, if we're being honest. He showed enough this year that he's probably getting paid. Like, for as much as we joke about like the Brock Purdy thing, they're stuck in a position where everyone is stable in the division. This is the most stable I feel like I've felt this division has been, certainly in my time covering sports radio, but maybe in my life. I can't think of a year or stretch in which I felt like the division had more security. There's just one dumpster fire. So Raiders, they stink, and their ownership is a huge portion of why they stink. They just keep ripping through coaches left and right, ripping through quarterbacks left and right. They got no eye for talent. They got no eye. Just kind of lost, man. Where would you rank them? We did the head coaching conversation yesterday. We did it before the Raiders job was open.
Yeah.
Where would you rank the Raiders opening amongst all the openings?
It's the second worst.
To the Jets?
No, to the Saints.
To the Saints. Saints job is bad.
And that's because of cap space more than anything else. I don't think ownership is awful in New Orleans or anything. Actually, quite the opposite. But it's just a bad spot to be in financially, and the contracts they have on the books.
Feels like the next coach who takes that job has to accept that they're getting fired and just trying to set things up for the next guy.
It'll be a first-time head coach that takes the Saints gig. I would go Saints, Jets, and Raiders are the bottom three jobs available right now.
Yeah, I just wouldn't take it. Some of those jobs, it's like, and I get it, it's the same thing. It's like, well, there's only so many. Like, I saw Robert Saleh.
Yeah, nobody's turning. If you get offered the job and you're not, you know, you're not Ben Johnson. If you're not Ben Johnson, you're still taking the damn job. It's a nice paycheck for a couple of years, and who knows? You know, the outlier example, of course, to this entire conversation about any of this is we would have said the Lions were a bad job. You can't win there. That organization hasn't won a damn thing. Dan Campbell's talking about biting kneecaps in his opening press conference, like, oh God, this is going to be a disaster. And now everybody thinks he's the greatest coach ever.
Yeah.
You know? So who knows?
I'm trying to think about, like, who's the last coach who was so bad even he didn't get to keep coaching? Gase? Gase coaching anywhere?
Yeah, the wandering eyes at that opening press conference. Like,
does Adam Gase possess a job in the NFL or college level? I gotta assume no, right? I mean,
are you asking me right now if he's coaching anywhere? No,
he is a part of the 33rd team. He's a strategic advisor.
He's a media member now.
Okay, so he's retired from coaching.
He hasn't coached since he was the interim. Since he was the head coach of the Jets in 2020.
That's one of the few examples, Gold, where you're saying, hey, it's a nice paycheck, and then you just get out. Very few coaches does it go so poorly that they're just like, we're good here. Like, we're fine. What do you mean? I'll come be a special teams coordinator. We're fine. Like, it has to go epically bad in order to do that. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, you take the jobs that are available in front of you, but still.
Raiders is a bottom three job out of this group. No doubt.
It's a bad job, man. Just a bad job. Someone from the 816 at Urban Meyer. I'm like, yeah, that's one of the examples of
there you go.
It went so bad that even, and still at least, you know, college teams were kicking around a little bit like, well, you know, the Urban Meyer thing, it didn't go so bad in college. You know, maybe it would work out.
He was kicking players.
Dude, yeah, that was one of
the kicker, right? He was kicking the kicker.
Yes, in particular.
Dude, like, he was
at a bar and he was married. That's a personal thing. Non-related. That's not even related.
No. It's all together.
Yeah.
It's like the train wreck that was the 6 months of that man's life, man. It was all together at the same time. He's out here just making mistakes, kicking players.
He was wearing I can remember the photo without even looking. He was in like a pink quarter zip or something, right?
Yeah,
and he's chilling at his bar.
Gainesville or something.
Or Columbus. Wasn't he in Columbus? Doesn't he own a bar there or something? I don't know. Man.
His favorite place, yeah.
What a mess. What a total mess. You had said something yesterday on the show And I think you got it the opposite.
Okay.
So at first you were just saying as kind of like a joking, ha ha, this is what they should do. And it made me accidentally stumble upon what is the actual good idea that should be done. You had said yesterday when the Bengals had fired Lou Anarumo, who Drew did not want around anymore, who was a head coaching candidate for a long time in the NFL.
I said that potential Chiefs opponents in the playoffs should hire him
since
as a consultant. Since he's, I guess, the only one that can stop Patrick Mahomes, that if I'm the Bills, Ravens, Texans, Chargers, whoever, they should bring him in as a consultant. Yes,
and
I
you
did
were saying
say that.
It kind of sarcastically in a way that I didn't think you were being serious. And then I thought about it some more, and you're half right. Someone should hire Lou Anarumo, the Chiefs. The Chiefs should hire him as a consultant for the postseason.
I don't need that stink around my organization.
Hold on, hold on. Wait.
I'm good.
He actually has had success against Patrick Mahomes. That is statistically accurate, generally speaking, in his career. So why not have a guy in here who has frustrated your offense a couple of times, and more importantly, has seen Baltimore twice, has seen Pittsburgh twice, has been coaching in the AFC for years. What's the harm?
This team's going
just
for
an
a
extra
three-peat.
Voice?
They've won with
people
this,
talking about bringing Gruden in for we can't do some consulting work.
I mean, Lou
just
Anarumo
a quick
wants
chat
to
chat in a defensive room. I think they should entertain it.
I mean, if Lou Anarumo is unemployed and he wants to hang out in St. Joe in August, that's different. I don't need him for this run. This team's going for a three-peat. The quarterbacks, they've already faced Josh Allen 100 times. They've faced Lamar 100 times.
Man, I've faced those guys a lot of times.
I'm good there. I get what you're saying. I think it'd be the other team.
How does Lou do against Lamar? Pretty bad, right? Lamar fries him up.
Lamar normally does very, very well against the
Bengals.
In fairness,
not as good against them.
They've done well against Josh Allen. They've done pretty well against Josh Allen.
It's so funny because, and this is like, this goes back to the whole head coaching thing where you should be very mindful. Not kidding. People were talking about Lou like he was a defensive genius.
Yeah.
And this is always the risk that Aaron Glenn would have right in Detroit. Take the job. Anyone offers you a job, Aaron, take it. Take it.
Yeah, when Ross Tucker joined us.
Defense takes a half a step back, then all of a sudden you don't look as clean as you used to look.
Yeah, when Ross Tucker joined us, when we were talking about Ben Johnson and stuff, and he's like, oh, it's okay to be patient. I'm like, yeah, at some point, though, you risk not being the hot name anymore. And that's what happened with Lou Anarumo. Because, he was viewed as this genius, and people thought he should get head coaching looks, and he wasn't.
The reason you're saying that you want the Chiefs to get him is so that other teams don't get him, Cody. I don't even think you actually want Lou Anarumo. You just want him.
I like smart people in football rooms kicking things around.
Yeah,
you know?
are we sure?
I'm a big fan of the collaborative effort.
Is he the guy, though, that you want in the room knowing how...
They don't need him.
Yeah.
It's
just like they got Spags, then they need to waste their time.
Yeah. Yes, they've gone back-to-back with this
There's
exact
no reason
same
for them to get
staff.
Him other than no. your point of... Well, other teams don't. We want to make sure the other teams don't get him because he knows how to game plan the Chiefs.
He actually has coached well against. Now, look, that could just be an anomaly. It's still a small sample size, right? It's a couple of games.
Yes.
He has statistically played down 10 or 15% against Cincinnati versus other opponents. That's all. And I don't know if that's Lou. I don't know if he's the one pulling all the strings that seemingly did. But, like,
I think
that there's a part to, like, sometimes defensive coordinators just have a feel for a guy. Spags, it turns out, is just one of the greatest defensive coordinators of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But even he was capable of, like, slowing down Brady better than most people slow him down. And I think that there's been times where, like, the Chiefs have had defensive coordinators who, for whatever reason, might be able to slow down one quarterback and get absolutely fried consistently by the other. They don't have an answer for the other guy floating around trying to do these things. And if he's had a sense of, like, what slows you down or what defenses can do to slow you down, I don't see what the harm is like sitting in a room and being collaborative. This is just one of those, like, you sit in a defensive meeting for a few minutes and see what you got. People, and I will say this is the part
we
don't
we're basically saying the same thing. You just think it's better that the Chiefs do it. We're like, neither one of us, we're not saying, like, the idea that the concept.
I'm saying the Chiefs should do it. Yeah, partially because I don't want
the concept
for someone else.
The concept we're saying is the exact same thing.
I didn't think you meant it, though. I thought you didn't actually think a team should pick up Lou. Do you think the team that maybe should? Oh, okay. I took it as you were being, like, sarcastic.
No,
in the sense that, like, no one should actually do it.
I don't believe the Chiefs should do it. I think that'd be the wrong path. If any team was going to bring in a consultant known as Lou Anarumo, it should be teams playing the Chiefs.
Can I bring up one more argument for this, which I think has been kind of a consistent theme of the Chiefs this year? This is another move, in my opinion, that if you did this, it is another push, one final chip to the middle, because they have done everything to try to make sure that this three-peat happens. I don't care if it's trading for DeAndre Hopkins, bringing in DJ Humphreys, bringing in Kareem Hunt. There was a good story at the Star. It said he was having a hard time getting off the couch a couple of weeks ago because of the usage over the course of the season when he came off the couch. They have pushed every conceivable chip into the middle of the pot in an effort to maintain where they are at the top of the AFC to try to go for that three-peat. This is like a small effort, small move in which it's no loss, right? And it's same for the teams on the other side that you're talking about. There's absolutely no risk in it. It doesn't hurt you in any way to have the collaborative effort to go in there. I actually just think it serves them better than it serves the Chiefs better than it serves the other team. I get your point to where if he has
already, they've already stopped these teams that are going to possibly face. Those teams haven't stopped him.
Not in the postseason.
So that's why I think it's different.
Not in the postseason. Certainly not. I would like to see his numbers against Josh Allen. I only watch him against the Chiefs. I don't know how he does.
I just know the Bengals have done well against Josh Allen. I don't know. Josh Allen might have played well in those games. I know the one game in the snow they played at
Josh
Buffalo.
Allen plays good against everybody.
The Bengals won 27-10 or something along those lines. 27-17. They dominated that game.
Who do you want for defensive coordinator there in Cincy, Drew?
Robert Saleh, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
He's interviewing for the head coaching
job. You guys can enjoy those conversations.
Robert Saleh, he's either going to get the Saints head coaching job or he's going to go back to Kyle Shanahan, right? And you just going to go back to Kyle Shanahan?
Shanahan might be desperate enough to, whatever you need, man, I need you.
Gold, as you know, I am a big believer in Kyle Shanahan as an NFL head coach. And even I, last night, sent you guys a text being like, man, he's got to find a defensive coordinator. He's not trying to fire after a year.
Yeah, I still think that's misleading, as I told you in the
group
text.
2 years in a row, though.
I think it's misleading. You sent me a text.
2 years in a row. He's fired a defensive coordinator for a season.
You sent me a copy of a text or a tweet or whatever, and it was, I can't remember the years, so forgive me on the years, but the idea was...
Since 2019, I think.
Robert Saleh, gone. D'Amico Ryan's 2 years, gone. And then Steve Wilks, and then whatever the heck the guy's name this year, gone. And you're like, he needs to keep one. Ignoring the fact the first two left because they got head coaching gigs. Yeah. So, like, that's not fair to knock him for that.
You're saying that, okay, so if it happens again, Cody, that'll have been 3 years in a row.
He can't fire a guy after a year again. That's I two agree. Years. Two three, in a row is kind of crazy, even if I eliminate every
third
other person
one has
on this
to
list.
Hit. This third three one has to wild. Hit. I hear, like, this third year now has to hit.
He got out of a long-term relation with D'Amico Ryans, which was all of 2 years before he took the Texans job. Now this manager's firing every defensive coordinator who steps into the building.
Well, he knows after seeing 1 year that, you know, they're not good enough. They're not the level he needs them to be.
They got significantly worse without Steve Wilks as well. He fired Wilks, and then they got worse.
Yeah, they did.
He just didn't like Wilks' Super Bowl game plan and handling. And then back
that's not a good reason to fire.
He also didn't know the rules, which didn't help in overtime or whatever
having
it was.
Having one bad game plan should not get you fired. Like, you can't have a bad day at your job, or you just can't? He helped you get to a Super Bowl. His defense wasn't so bad on the way all the way there. All those other 20 weeks, it was a job well
sometimes
done.
Sometimes you don't know until you work with someone. Maybe they didn't have a good working relationship. Until you're in that spot, you don't know maybe how, you know, did they gel and all that.
Okay.
Anyway.
Someone says, any chance Shanahan gets traded to Chicago? I don't think so.
That was that rumor that was floated out there, I don't know, a month ago.
I think Chicago should do that if that's an actual option.
But the Niners would be morons to trade Kyle Shanahan.
I agree.
That'd be very dumb. Because it's like, okay, well, then who's your head coach? Oh, we'll hire Ben Johnson. Okay, like, best case scenario, he's Kyle Shanahan.
Are
like,
you planning on playing Brock Purdy to go with that? Or is he going to choose his own guy?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. All right, guys. Up next, though, let's talk about how we view Mahomes now that the regular season has concluded. And there's a young name that's out there that's being floated as a potential coaching candidate, and it has some tie into Patrick Mahomes. We'll explain that next. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12 minutes or so. Also, in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll get back to Travis Kelce's comments on his New Heights podcast with his brother Jason. Did you guys, by the way, did any of you watch the Jason Kelce late night show that debuted? It's only on 5 episodes this month. I read some of the reviews. I haven't watched it. Some of the reviews were not very great, you know, not great. It sounded like didn't really utilize Kelce the way that made people like Jason Kelce. So that's a mistake if that's true. I need to watch it. But
I saw his
it's
wife
on ESPN.
Was the PA announcer, which is fun.
Yeah, so it's on ESPN, Friday nights for 5 Friday nights, like at 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
I forgot it even debuted, I'll be honest.
So did I, and then I saw some links about it, and I didn't know if either of you had watched it.
I haven't yet. Not opposed to it, but no, I haven't watched it yet.
So we'll do that in a little audio fun bag in the 1 o'clock hour. But we were mentioning, you know, kind of where things are at in the postseason and impact that quarterbacks have, obviously, and on franchises and all that. We all know, I don't know, as I look up at the board and see the first 5-6 weeks of the schedule, what the conversation was like pre-bye week. how Mahomes looked in the first 5 or 6 weeks. The national,
a lot of interceptions.
The national narrative, all these picks, and he's not playing great. And by the way, that was all fair. That was all true. But what has gotten lost is how well he played from, I would say, week 10 on, week 9 on, and led this team to a 15-2 record. So now that we see the complete regular season picture, how do you guys view Mahomes' season overall? It wasn't an MVP season. I don't think anybody should be making that case at all. I think that would be being a little too much of just a blind homerage saying he should have been.
I'd always argue that it's not as far off as some people would make it seem.
Not an MVP type of season.
But agreed.
But the second half, he showed once again, though, why he's consistently always going to be one of the top quarterbacks in this league, even when we perceive the entire year or the early portion of the year as being bad at times.
So, It was bad. I don't even think there's any way to sugarcoat it. If you go back and look at their schedule, funny enough, it was actually the easier part of their schedule, too. Their first six games, they faced two total playoff teams. That's it. Two. Yeah. Just the Baltimore Ravens and the Falcons and the Los Angeles Chargers. Falcons missed. They were close. Falcons missed. They were close. Cincy missed. They were close. Saints were never close. San Francisco was never close. But two. That's it. In the final remaining stretch of games, they played a bunch of playoff teams over and over and over again, and he was so much better. If I had to aggregate his season as a whole, I would call it a league average season for him. Not a league average to the rest of the quarterback. I would say when we get into the pantheon of things, this is like floor. But not floor in a negative way. If this is your floor, think about how great you have to be. He's going to have close to 30 total touchdowns or right around there. He had 4,000 passing yards. He ended up finishing middle of the pack in the NFL in interceptions gold. He didn't finish top five or top, like, there's so many quarterbacks who had more picks than him. He threw exactly two interceptions from week 8 on in the regular season. And both of those were in the same game, which means 7 of the last 8 games he threw 0.
He was 7th in passing yards in the NFL total. And it's funny because some of the names in front of him include Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, and Sam Darnold. So, like, if I just would have told you, and you'd be like, what the hell happened? But they all had pretty good years. But you're on that. And then touchdown number wise for Mahomes, if
first
we're just
top 10.
Overall ranking, absolutely. He's got 26 of them. Burrow, Jackson, Mayfield, Goff, Darnold, Nix, Allen, Rodgers ended up in front of him. He was two off the pace from jumping two spots, by the way. And then, interceptions, there was a point in time where, I can't remember who put out,
leading the league.
They're like, oh, he's going to have the most interception. Like, that's not going to
hold. Oh, for a former MVP, that was the stat, the dumb stat that said, no MVP has ever the following year led the league.
He wasn't even, he wasn't close to top 10. He ended up with 11 picks. You had Kirk Cousins and Baker had 16. Baker's in the playoffs. Geno had 15. Darnold's in the playoffs. Goff's in the playoffs. They had 12. Bo Nix in the playoffs. He had 12. Like, CJ Stroud had 12 interceptions. He's in the playoffs. Like, so plenty of these playoff quarterbacks had 12 plus.
Here's how I view Patrick Mahomes' season. I can't for the life of me, even if you made me go back, explain to you why he was playing such bad quarterback for the first 6 weeks of the season. He was healthy. And look, some of it could just be Kingsley Suamatia was a starter for two of those games, two and a half of those games. And then Wanya Morris was a starter for the other ones. And then they started to maybe start experimenting a little bit more about the possibilities. Because in the 10 games since then, there's a demarcation for me. The first 6 weeks, weeks 1 through 3 or 1 through 6, and then 7 through 16. The final 10 games of the season, listen to these stats and tell me that he had a down year. Try to honest to God tell me, just because you looked at the end of the season stats, that Patrick Mahomes wasn't the same. The final 10 games of the season, he completed 67% of his passes for 2,500 yards, 20 touchdowns to just 3 interceptions, and a 98 quarterback rating. That's what he did for the final 10 games. At a small sample size, that's a huge chunk of the season. There's just a clear line in the sand for when he turned it on, and he would have been a 4,500-yard passer and a 35-touchdown passer and pretty much pasted all of those things from week 7 on, when they finally started to at least handcuff themselves from what was awful offensive line play. This goes to coaching a little bit, because we talked about this with C.J. Stroud.
It coincides with Worthy coming on strong from week 10 on.
That would have been, maybe 3 weeks after that, the start of the stretch I just gave you. Here's what truthfully happened, is they're so well-coached of a team that even those problems that hold back bad teams or mediocre teams for the entire year, they solved it. Caleb Williams was sacked a bunch this year. C.J. Stroud was sacked. They had bad offensive lines. So did the Chiefs. The Chiefs had bad tackles, not a bad offensive line. the Chiefs were able to fix their problems to the point that it made Mahomes dangerous again. And in the final 4 weeks, and look, I could, you want me to make him look really good? I could go from that point that Worthy came on gold, and then they really started to figure things out, because then Mahomes took it to an even higher level. If you wanted to say weeks 1 through 6, and then I separated the middle part of the season when they're like, well, we're trying to figure this all out, 7, 8, 9. And then I just told you the final 7 games. Well, then he had 1,700 yards, 14 picks, and 2 interceptions. And he had a over 100 quarterback rating. He was great. I'd say he had a really nice year. Not a bad year. Not an excellent year. He just had a really nice season.
He had a nice season. And outside of Kansas City, I think people would be like, oh yeah, he did have a good year. If you were to go and just ask, you know, pick a fan base in some of the markets that are in the playoffs, like, what do you think Mahomes, he didn't have a good year.
Like, and I get it. It's easy to look at some of the guys who threw for like a gajillion touchdowns, like Jared Goff. Didn't he have like 35 or 36 or something? So he threw for more yards by a lot, more touchdowns by a lot. His team also won 15 games. So, you know, he had a better year, right? Hypothetically, than what Patrick Mahomes
had. Ultimately, though, how's he going to perform in the playoffs, baby? That's all that matters.
You know what's funny about Goff is...
all that matters there.
If you had asked me earlier, if we re-ranked the quarterbacks in the entire NFL and just redrafted, right? Zero is whatever, and you're the Chiefs, and you get whatever. And I got to pick 10th, and we're going to go in order. Shouldn't Goff be taken in the top 10? Nobody ever wants to talk... Shouldn't he be taken like the top 7? He's been to a Super Bowl. He's on a 15-win team. He came to Detroit when they were the worst team in the NFL. He won 3 games. Since then, he's won 9 games, 12-5, 15-2, and they're the number one seed. He has thrown for over 4,000 yards for 3 straight years. He is averaging 34 passing touchdowns a year over the last 3 years. Yeah. Isn't Jared Goff a top 7 quarterback?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the playoff quarterbacks tomorrow on the show a little bit more in detail and just kind of where the playoff QBs are. But to answer your question now, I was going back to, we joked about it, I was going back to June to find my preseason list.
Did you find it?
Before this year started, I had Goff 13th. So when you're asking, is he 10 now? Yeah, I mean,
he's way higher than 13.
Yeah, so he was 13 before the season for me.
Did you see mine in there? What did I have?
This was just on my own notes app. I don't have yours, unfortunately.
What was the date of the rundown off
June,
my mind?
This was June 15th is when I made the list. I don't know if we did it that day.
I had Goff as 14 on my list, at least that I got right now.
Okay, so 13, 14.
These notes.
The funniest one still as I'm looking. Well, for something like this, I did, just because I talked about this on another show too. So it was an exercise we were doing. I had to make it on the fly on
this list is really
show.
Bad. I had two at 10.
I had two at 16th.
I had Trevor Lawrence.
He's not even 16th right now.
I had Trevor Lawrence at 9.
I had Trevor at 11.
9?
Adam 11. Woo. You had top 10. 11's not good either.
Holy crap.
The biggest miss I had,
I had Aaron Rodgers at 8.
I had Mahomes 1, Allen 2, Burrow 3, Lamar 4. I'll stick with that right now.
You said the 14th? That's when you did this?
Oh, God, June 15th.
I'll have to go find it.
Herbert was 9. I still would keep him there. I know a lot of you think that's crazy, but I would still keep him
there. I had him at 13. So. I would say he's higher than 13 now.
Stafford was 7, and I still think he's in that category. Like, if... Anyway, we're going to talk more about the NFC play and AFC playoffs tomorrow with QBs. But it's interesting.
How about Jalen Hurts? So I had Hurts at 4.
I had Hurts at 8.
And I feel like he's still around there because when he's played well. It's just the fact that
he's on the number 2 seed.
My biggest whiff is Dak at 5. So he got hurt this year too. That didn't happen.
Injury. It's like that kind of changes the calculus a little bit. But he was pretty bad before he got hurt. But just because a quarterback got hurt, didn't feel like they should tumble down the list. You know, I was never a big Lawrence guy, but I'm sure I had Herbert probably around the range you did. But Goff was probably in that same range too. I probably had him like 10 to 15. I think it's kind of inarguable he's like a top 8 quarterback based on the way he's performed. He's been to, like, how many quarterbacks, dead serious, how many quarterbacks starting in the NFL right now have even been to a Super Bowl? Let's say in the NFL, it's like what, 7? In the playoffs, it's like 3, 4, maybe?
Oh, just in the entire NFL that have started in a Super Bowl?
Me? I don't know.
Rodgers, Mahomes, Burrow, Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Goff, Stafford. That's 7, unless I double-dipped.
Okay. I think you double-dipped.
Did I say
you Rodgers said Rodgers twice.
Twice. Sorry, okay. So 6, and we're missing somebody else. I think
you have Purdy, right?
No, I don't have Purdy. Sorry, there's 7.
Purdy,
there you go.
Purdy,
Purdy 7. I think that
That's right.
Covers everybody.
Okay. I think it's seven.
I think it's seven, unless there's someone.
And like Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he ain't gonna be in the league that long. And Russell Wilson's team's not gonna last that long. So I mean,
well, and Aaron Rodgers' last Super Bowl appearance was when? 20.
Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo. Excuse me. No. Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm sorry.
Because then I got to include Flacco. And I'm not including Flacco.
Flacco's not in the league this year, though, right? Or is he still on the backup of the Colts?
He started the final game of the season for the Colts.
I guess he is. Let's throw him in there. He counts,
no.
too.
Oh, he counts. Oh, my goodness.
He absolutely counts.
Flacco.
What about, he counts, man.
Someone said you can argue golf is better than Lamar, golf over Lamar.
Okay.
I don't think so. Sorry. From the 913.
Lamar has officially moved up my list to three.
The guy has won back-to-back MVPs, and you can make a case should win it 3 years in a row.
His stat line is insane this year.
My official top four, which are all in the AFC.
Do we say Jalen Hurts? Someone added that one and forgot about him. There's eight or nine.
Eight starting quarterbacks currently. Yes. Okay, well, unless you want to include, that means we have 10, though. If you include Flacco and
I was just going quarterbacks in a league that started in the Super Bowl. But
okay, so it's 10 then.
Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow would be my top four quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Oh, so you have the same four.
Yeah. Lamar used to be fourth for me. I used to have Burrow higher. I used to have Burrow ahead of Allen.
You flip Burrow and Lamar.
Burrow's moved down. He used to be second on my list. He's fourth now.
Still 1A, 1B for me.
That's Mahomes and Allen are clearly 1 and 2. I don't know how you can argue anymore.
But if Lamar Jackson was the MVP again this year, what are we? They've both been to one AFC title game, and one guy has three damn MVPs. Are we kidding?
I don't know how Burrow can be two. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's not. Yeah, not on my. I mean, Joe.
I think he's one B, but okay.
He can be.
He doesn't even think he's two. He thinks he's one B. Again, what is up with this? It's like not you.
Hey, one B.
What's up with Cincinnati? Like again, everybody else. Like what's 1, 2, 3, 4? And like, well, 1B. And like, well, the playoffs weren't fair. We're gonna have a petition. What's up with?
We'd like to be playoff team seven B.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Cincinnati, the best 9-8 team in NFL history. Joe Burrow is technically MVP. Technically, like, what are we doing with all these qualifiers? Whiny little, you know what's out of Cincinnati?
He would have an MVP if they made the playoffs.
Hang on.
You know?
That's what I'm saying.
Not true. He wouldn't have, though. He wouldn't have.
In fairness, I am not a part of the petition group. So please do not put me in that category.
You better not be.
That is amazingly bad. Change.org
petition. That is wanting terrible. Cincinnati to get in. I mean, give me a break.
That's embarrassing from the fans.
Loser mentality.
I know we're talking about all these random quarterbacks and stuff. So let's talk about coaching for a second. You and I, before the show, were talking a little bit about some of the coaching search because it's always interesting because the Chiefs don't ever have to worry about it until Andy Reid retires. Which I'm sure Florio is going to say is tomorrow or something by the time his comes out. I'm sure. Has he not written this year that Andy Reid's retiring? Did he finally let that stupid story go? I haven't heard that nearly as much from Florio.
Well, usually it happens around the Super Bowl. While you're mentioning that, Mike Garafolo just reported the Jets are requesting an interview with Steve Spagnuolo.
So Spags
and Borgonzi all interview requests with the Jets.
Hold on, that's more interesting than the thing we were getting ready to say. Spags, if Dennis Allen, that's always my example, but forget Dennis Allen.
Well, they look like brothers, too.
Dennis Allen and Spags. They do kind of look like they would be siblings together at Christmas in Philly. Spags has earned a right to have one more crack at the head coaching.
I totally agree.
I don't think he'll ever get it. Mm-hmm. But I do want to be clear that Spags has earned the right to have another chance. There have been so many coaches who had no success in their first job who got to be a head coach again. Adam Gase, who we mentioned earlier, got a second head coaching job. Dennis Allen has gotten a second head coaching job. Josh McDaniel's first head coaching job went horribly. Plenty of coaches have gotten a second opportunity. Spags is the single greatest defensive coordinator in NFL history. I don't understand why somebody wouldn't just give him one more crack. I'm glad he's getting an interview because then at least it means somebody's taking him somewhat soon. They're giving him a chance. He hasn't interviewed in a long time.
Now, the Jets have requested everybody but you and I at this point.
They interviewed Rex Ryan, and he thinks he has a great shot at the job. So Spags, you would think, is going to be a top candidate.
But no, I mean, I think what hurt Spags... it is unfair, I guess. He's 65 years old, and there's some teams clearly that have shied away from that. But I'm with you. I mean, I think he's done enough since becoming a coordinator again, for crying out loud, potentially adding a fourth ring or fifth, I guess it'd be his fifth ring, wouldn't it?
He's got another one with a different organization.
He's four-time right now, so yeah, it'd be a fifth ring. He deserves a crack at it. You and I, we had him on the show in February, you know, after the Super Bowl last year, at the end of the season.
And we asked him.
He's happy. You know, basically, he came, you know, I'm happy where I'm at, but of course, you know, I'd be interested, basically, in being a head coach if that opportunity presented itself. So good for him for getting an interview. We'll see if anybody else requests it. Right now, if you were asking Nagy, Spags, and Borgonzi, the Chiefs assistant general manager, out of that group, as we talked with Nate about this yesterday, Nate Taylor, who's most likely to actually get a job outside the organization?
Borgonzi.
It's Borgonzi. I think after that, then I would actually go, man.
I'd probably put Nagy too. He's an offensive mind.
He's an offensive mind.
You know,
mind.
This works.
Mitchell Trubisky.
He's younger and his stint went better.
Has not been anything ever since Matt Nagy wasn't his head coach.
And his stint went better. Like, he won more games. He won a higher percentage of his games.
Yeah.
And he's younger.
So, what so about
like all
the
those
new
things kind of work against Spags.
New contract Spags got here. Yeah, that doesn't matter. It's a defensive coordinator contract. If you get a head coaching opportunity, that doesn't
there's no non-compete. Yeah. There's no buyout. You just leave. And he's never going to hold a coordinator back from a head coaching job.
Also, if you're Spags, you're taking the Jets, though. Like, your legacy is so good right now.
You got no other head coaching calls. You got to take whatever job they give you if you want to do it.
Mm.
In fairness, I think in regards to that quick little list, I think you would almost flip it. In terms of guys you could least afford to lose, you would not want the Spags would be the last guy you want going.
I agree. I would. They would be fine if Matt Nagy left. They'd be just fine. That's not a shot at Nagy at all.
Borgonzi left. I would not.
We've seen
waking up in sweats. If Spags left, I'd be worried.
Yeah, because it's not a shot. It's not a shot at Nagy. We've seen Doug Peterson leave. They were fine. We saw EB leave. They were obviously fine.
Saw Nagy leave a different time.
It'd be, yeah, saw him leave already once. They were fine. Like so, it's just the reality that Andy Reid is the offensive of play caller ultimately. So yeah, they could solidify. They could be fine if that happened. Defensively would be a much bigger question. Although I'll be honest, if you did tell me Spags left, I'd just promote Dave Merritt. I'd have Dave Merritt become my
defensive
coordinator.
I probably would too. It concerns me because for the thing I said, I mean, he's the single greatest defensive coordinator in NFL history. He's the most successful defensive coordinator in NFL history. And it complicates the thing about defensive coordinator is it complicates things for Andy. Andy loves nothing more than to find a defensive coordinator and be like, your job.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, Andy, do you know any of the names of the linebackers? Sure don't, and don't care. He's like, hey, Andy, Leo's got a question. He's like, Leo who? Chanel, he plays linebacker for us? You sure? Like, he doesn't need
54.
To,
Oh, 54.
Got it. I remember him on some tape. Yeah, cool. Sounds good. He wants to just leave the defense to the person who could handle it. It would obviously have an impact, although I would put it at a very low odds.
So interviews are taking place this week. A lot of them over Zoom. That's kind of how this week's going to take place, how it's going to go. The Jets interviewing everybody. The playoffs begin this weekend for the Chiefs, though. Of course, we wait until divisional round weekend. And don't forget, next week, keep an eye out. We'll be having some playoff t-shirts, thanks to our friends over at Gates Barbecue. So that's next week. And don't forget to also get some Gates Barbecue for your tailgate, or if you're just watching some football at home this weekend.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube. We live stream the show at the Fan 965. Please like, subscribe, put those alerts on there, get a chance to know when we are going live with the show every single day at 10. Question I have for you is about playoff food today.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are selling a new dessert item at Arrowhead for the divisional round game. It is a loaf of bread soaked in eggs, custard, and milk. It will also be served with a heavy cream, berry sauce, powdered sugar, vanilla ice cream, and strawberries. You can see it kind of looks like a brick.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the sauce is underneath it. Some of the creamy bread stuff will be in the middle of it. Yay or nay? I mean, like, yay or nay? That's all we're doing on this. Are you interested in this dessert?
Look, I'll hold it up for those that are on our video stream. Look, it doesn't look bad at all.
It looks pretty appetizing.
I would say this feels like an item, especially if you see the photo. This is a club level item. I can't imagine you carrying this loaf of bread up to your seats or down to your seats. I think this is like a club level item. It's going to be overpriced is my guess. It's probably like $20. I'm good. It looks good though, but I'm good on the, considering the cost, it's also going to be 15 degrees outside. I'm just going to eat this loaf bread custard thing. I'm good.
I'll say.
It looks like a cinnamon roll.
So that's not really, because like I've had desserts kind of like this before, not exactly like this, but close enough, right? Where it's this like bread where you use this like creme anglaise or whatever the hell, I don't know if they're calling it that, but you know, like some sort of like milk custard sauce. Looks pretty good. But here's the problem. Who on earth is eating this at a stadium? This is an immediate no. I'm sorry, Chiefs. This is a whiff. You start putting like a nacho helmet topped with four kinds of beef on. I get it, man. That feels like something I'm supposed to be eating in a stadium. Who goes to Arrowhead and eats a loaf of bread soaked in custard? A heavy cream
it's
and
like
a berry
French toast.
Sauce.
It's like French toast.
Who eats French toast in a stadium?
I'm with you.
That's not a stadium food. Some foods are not meant for stadiums.
It's like a dessert at the Cheesecake Factory or something.
I keep saying this, though.
This is what I get. Like, I go to dinner with my wife, and it's her anniversary, and they're like, oh, we got you a little dessert to share. This is what they put on the plate.
Yeah.
At, like, a restaurant exclusive for, like, elderly women, and we're having our anniversary dinner, and they give you the little dessert to share. This is the dessert, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
The bites taste good. It's a delicious little treat, but it's not a stadium food.
Yeah, this is why I keep saying, but for all the reasons you just pointed out, it's why I think it's probably only available in like the club level or in suites or something like that. Now, I'm curious to go back to something you just said. You just mentioned a restaurant that's only for elderly women. I would like you to know, can you name what restaurants do you think are only for elderly
women?
That
was the one I used to work at. That was Webster House. Dude, are you kidding? It's for the blue hairs. Everything was like covered in lace. Come on, man. That was.
What other restaurants do you think are
only for
old women?
I don't have a great.
Do you go to these
now.
Restaurants?
That one. I worked at that one, but other than that, I can't think of a. I don't have another good example, unfortunately.
Okay, I didn't know. I was like, huh. I'm curious now.
It just felt like the kind of thing that maybe they would have served at the restaurant.
All right, up next, we'll get to what Travis Kelce had to say about the idea the Chiefs were doing something fishy in Week 18 against the Denver Broncos. Plus, more audio fun bag next.